You are listening to the Teen Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers with the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that your work with flowers matters, and we're cheering you on. Hi, my name is Kelly, and today we're talking with Sean Strong. He fell into flowers a few years ago while studying biomechanics in college. Since discovering a love for blooming things, he hasn't looked back. Sean is located in Atlanta, Georgia, where he also hosts workshops each year. To learn more, you can visit his website, seanstrong.com, and follow him on Instagram, at seanstrong. In this episode, we're talking about the power that flowers hold in changing the ambiance of an environment. Sean's sharing about his culturally rich background and how that has shaped his floral design. We're also talking through a few simple fixes designers can make to increase the visual appeal of their arrangements. You'll learn the ins and outs of connecting with other businesses in your community and using those solutions to successfully conduct the pop-up shop. It's all right here on the Teen Flower Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Teen Flower. Teen Flower is an online learning community focused on educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. Whether you're a professional farmer or florist, getting started, or just love flowers, welcome to the party. If you'd like to know when new podcast episodes are released,
to have you here on the Teen Flower Podcast today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, you have such a beautiful style. We would love to know a little bit about just your philosophy with flowers. What is it about flowers that's your jam? What makes you really happy? Just tell us a little bit about that. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll learn about you kind of in the process of that, because flowers
For sure.
always help us. I feel like they're such a great way to get to know people, you know, what they pick and what they're drawn to. It just is a reflection of the people who pick them
I completely agree with that. You know, I think a lot of the times, I don't think we notice flowers. You know, they're part of our everyday life. You know, they're for our celebrations, they're there for funerals and weddings. And I truly believe that, you know, flowers change an environment. You know, if it's a gift, or you have them, you know, in your living room, or, you know, for a wedding, it changes the whole entire atmosphere. You know, the same way, like, I guess, the same way that music kind of sets a tone for an event. I kind of feel like flowers are the same thing, you know. And like, for instance, Fritillaria, you know, I feel like it's such a whispering kind of flower, whereas like a peony is more, I don't know, like operatic and kind of like demands your attention. So I kind of think that, you know, flowers have their own voice, and I like to make sure that I'm highlighting that voice and kind of letting them do their own thing. So
love that. What a fun visual picture of like the flower choir.
I feel crazy. Like, you know, I feel crazy talking like that.
I love that. I think that is such a fun way to look at it. And I could totally visualize like
get
a
it, right?
coming out. Totally get it. I see the whisper. I see the opera, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like, I have this little room that was like a guest room, and my sister just returned home. She's been in Nepal for several months, and so she's kind of in this little transition. So she was staying in this guest room for just a couple of weeks, and she's moved out and all that kind of stuff. And the guest room just feels so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like, it feels empty.
It feels so empty. And so I picked daffodils the other day and put something in there. And now every time I walk by that room, I'm like, everything's okay in there.
It does. Like, honestly, okay. I grabbed some dogwood the other day, and I just put them in my living room, like on the mantle. And I was like, this just changed the whole entire place. So I think there's, you know, there's some validity in that. Putting flowers in a spot, you know, it changes the environment. So
It really is too. And with people, it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same thing with people. Like, we can walk into a room and like, I think about whenever we deliver like the bouquet to the bride, and like, we get to go into that place where even her that's a sacred space. It's a sacred room, and like, we have this honor of being a part of that.
Absolutely.
And bringing those flowers into that space. And I just always imagine, like, whenever it's Saturday, and I know everybody, you know, and I know weddings happen on other days too, but just on Saturday, I always find myself thinking about like all the flower people all over the world that are going into these sacred spaces, and just just thinking about like the peace that we can bring to something.
Well, absolutely.
That, you know, they're feeling
it's a humbling moment for me, you know, that someone trusts me to, to make their bouquet and to design their flowers. You know, I mean, when you look at, I guess, the pictures of a wedding that's like hung in at home, majority of the time, it's the picture of the bouquet, you know, it's the picture of them holding their flowers with their husband or, you know, their spouse, whoever it might be. And, you know, that's such a great, you know, feeling knowing that they want to have my flowers hung in their home as a memory. So I truly, I guess, respect and kind of revere that moment that I have with the bride. You know, they're trusting me with something so intimate. So,
Yeah, just a reminder, like, just to, because things can be so, I mean, they can be crazy town.
For sure.
You know, before we walk into room.
we're over here talking like weddings are so easy and like, oh, they're so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, they are. But yeah, weddings can be crazy. They're all over the place. So I try to make sure that I set some time aside and just have a moment with the bride, you know?
Yeah. That bouquet could have just rolled down a hill right before you walked.
Oh my gosh, my heart just started racing for whoever is having a wedding this weekend. Like, I just got so nervous for them.
That's so funny. No, it is. It's one of those things where, you know, when I kind of had this like burnout moment with flowers where I just did too many and really was struggling with it. And I just instantly, I don't know if there's anybody listening who might be in this place or feels this way, but if you are, just know it's okay and you'll come out again. I've come out. There's hope. But I would go into just into a wedding day, and you know, everybody's running around and all the vendors are running around, and the weather, are we in, are we out, you know, the tent, it's falling up, you know, there's this huge, you know, yucky like water spot on it, what are we gonna do about it, you know, there's all these things that can happen. And I would just find myself in those places, like unable to like just settle my anxious heart.
For sure.
Because there's so much adrenaline floating around in the space. And I just remember thinking like, okay, like this job, like how is this sustainable? Like, how can I do this with
it's
peace?
Exhausting.
Like I need to be able to, I need to be able to walk into these situations like peacefully and to not be affected by all the different emotions that are going in around and, you know,
for
all those
sure.
kinds of things. So anyway, my practice is breathing. I learned how to breathe deep inside
my
gut.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, holding your, you're not going to get much done if you hold your breath for too long. You know,
no.
you're going to pass out and that's not a good thing. So
you can feel it. You can actually physically feel like how your
Absolutely.
Breath changes. It's crazy. But anyway, all that aside. Yeah, but you have grown, you've been exposed to a whole bunch of different cultures, like all over the world. And we just wanted to talk a little bit about that. Tell us, what are these cultures? How have they influenced your work with design? Tell us, like, what are flowers like in another part of the world? Like, how does that affect what you do? All those kinds of things.
You know, so my dad was military, so I had the privilege of kind of growing up all over the place. You know, we lived in Japan, we lived in Europe, we lived all over the US. So I was constantly moving around. And I think from moving around constantly like that, I learned that culture, I guess a person's culture is very important to them, whether it be, you know, just a community culture or whether it be a more global kind of culture, it's important. And I try to make sure that I can represent that with my clients. You know, I really felt like it helped me kind of see a bigger scope in design as opposed to just kind of having a narrow focus on what I think is design, kind of opening myself up a little bit more to what's possible, I guess. I know that sounds kind of cliche or whatever, but I really feel like opening myself up and experience different cultures, different people and the way they live and the way they dress and the way they talk and the way they handle certain things kind of, you know, kind of shaped who I am. You know, I think that it's allowed me to connect with a story with somebody else because I, like you said, I've been all over the place and I have countless of stories that can kind of connect with somebody with a similar experience. So I think that's kind of helped me build trust with my clients. And I don't know. I just feel like that's kind of shaped my design because I'm in love with so many different aspects of different cultures, whether it be, you know, Europeans or Asians or whatever it might be. I'm just obsessed with learning and how I can take that and bring it to my designs. So yeah,
that's really fun.
Yeah,
super
it's been
fun.
Pretty cool. It's been pretty awesome.
What was like one of your favorite places that you lived?
Japan was phenomenal. I remember living there. It was I remember my mom just like letting us roam the streets. Like that sounds crazy, but like she, like there's like hardly any crime over there. So my mom trusts us to do stuff. And I was probably like 13 or so. And I just remember being able to go to like the city and like walking around and, you know, my mom having no problem with that. And my mom's a pretty, a guarded person. She wants to make sure I'm always, you know, doing right and making sure I'm protected, all that kind of stuff. But she kind of let her guard down there because she kind of knew the culture a little bit. But yeah, Japan was wonderful. I love anytime I get to go to Europe. I just am constantly inspired by art and the beautiful architecture. So yeah, I just think, I don't think I have one specific spot that I'm obsessed with, but, but I think that, you know, each place is unique in its own, you know, its own little bit. So,
yeah. Well, that's encouraging. I would really love to go to Japan someday.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an uncle who traveled there quite a lot, and he was really a flower lover, and he actually painted flowers.
Oh, nice.
And all kinds of different things. But he spent a lot of time in Japan, and sometimes I just wonder, you know, where did he walk and what did he do? And, you know, it's one of those places where there's definitely a language barrier there for me,
for sure.
Where, you know, I can hop on a plane and go to England and, you know, the culture is very different. But I feel like, okay, I can kind of work, or I can figure out what these different things mean. Like, I know that's not like what we would call it here, but I sort of like can understand contextually like what's happening.
Context clues to kind of figure out what's going on.
Context clues.
You know, when you're using characters in an Asian country, it's like, I have no idea what that says.
So I'm a little bit intimidated, I have to be honest, but it would be fun if there was somebody like you who's been to Japan before could lead us there.
For sure. Look, sign me up for a trip. Let's do this. We'll have a workshop over there and it'll be beautiful.
Oh, that would be so fun. So many cool flowers over there, the things come out of Japan, I'm just always so impressed by, like,
their varieties are insane. The quality, I don't understand
just their passion for breeding flowers and making new flowers, making them bigger, and I think it's so cool and so admirable. I love that.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of really cool flowers, so for Valentine's Day, you probably maybe had some Japanese sweet peas for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, you had a pop-up at J. Crew at Ponce City Market in Atlanta, and if you aren't familiar with that, it's a very popular, like, shopping, dining venue for locals and visitors to Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about your pop-up and how it went and, you know, any advice that you might have for somebody who's maybe in a different city or town or something
Absolutely.
Like that, that's like, oh, I'm kind of interested in this concept, but I'm not sure how to go about it or what I would do. What would you say to them?
So, like you said, Ponce City is like, it's a really cool little spot, really popular place. More specifically, there's a store in there called Citizen Supply. It's like a community-based space where the owner kind of houses local artisans. Like, for instance, a friend of mine. Yeah, it's a really cool spot. My friend Libby has an incredible plant shop in there called The Victorian, and they just sell, like, beautiful plants. And there's another place that sells, you know, leather goods. And so just that whole vibe, you know, to be a part of that was really, really cool. But they support this community of designers and, you know, local artists. And so I taught several workshops in that spot, and that's kind of how our relationship kind of grew, like being able to do that. When it came to J. Crew, J. Crew's actually in Ponce City Market. You know, I went in there and I talked to the manager, and I knew that they had like events going on every now and again. And I was like, hey, you know, this is my information. I'd love to do a pop-up sometime soon. And then, that was just a couple months prior to Valentine's Day, and they reached out to me and they're like, hey, what are you doing this day? And I was like, I wasn't planning on doing anything, but sure, let's do something. So it kind of worked out. I kind of last minute kind of thing, about a month out, we started planning and getting stuff organized, and it was awesome. It turned out really, really great, and the people responded well to it. So it was a fun little time. So
I love that.
Yeah, it was great.
Tell us about your bouquet wrapping. How'd you wrap them?
For sure. So it's really cool. So I like to make sure that, I was in a location where people were going to be able to see me, kind of wrapping and making bouquets, you know, that kind of nostalgic feeling of like, I don't know, I picture like the old school, like 1920s, like little boys selling flowers on the side of the road kind of thing. So like while people were shopping, you know, they would stop by and they're just, you know, again, flowers change that environment. So people were drawn to them. So they were kind of talking about them a little bit, and, you know, they were pointed these and what is this, and asked me questions. And so I was in a space where I was able to, you know, talk to them and engage with them. And I was like, well, pick some flowers out, you know, which ones would you like in a bouquet? And they were like, oh, you're selling these. And I was like, yeah. So they would pick their own flowers and they would shop. And then I'd wrap them in brown paper packaging. And then J. Crew actually had some really cool ribbon. It just was, I brought like twine because, you know, I'm pretty mm-hmm. minimal when it comes to that kind of stuff. But J. Crew had this ribbon that had J. Crew written all over it, really small, small font. So I was like, you know, do you mind if I use that? They're like, totally cool. So wrap the bouquets in the J. Crew ribbon. And we use some different varieties of flowers. We use hellebores and ranunculus and peonies and all these kind of luxury flowers that people don't get often. You know, they're not your standard, you know, red roses. They're going to be a little bit more of novelty kind of flowers. Mm-hmm. And so we wrapped them together and then people would walk out and then, you know, having that little J. Crew ribbon on it, people knew where to come and get those bouquets.
Yeah,
so yeah. It was, yeah, it worked out well. And it was wonderful. It was, I don't know, just getting to engage with people and having them, you know, fall in love with the flowers as I was kind of hand tying them for them was fun. You know, going back to mm-hmm. that bride aspect of that kind of intimacy of handing someone, you know, a life, I guess you could say. So it's kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing to think about. Handing
yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I, this is just a funny, curious question, but
no, please.
little girls, did you have many like children who came up to the stand?
So I didn't,
okay.
but I, when I was like setting up and everything and getting stuff, like kind of carrying it into J. Crew,
uh-huh.
you know, again, people are like, oh my gosh, those are so beautiful and all that kind of stuff. They're freaking out over these flowers. And so I had a couple little kids walk by and I would hand them like a little flower or something,
yeah.
you know, obviously with like
yeah.
parents' permission and they loved it. And so getting to kind of connect that way too was really sweet. Watching mm-hmm. them walk around with like little ranunculus and, mm-hmm. and little things like that. So mm-hmm.
That's what melts my heart. I, I had a bunch of flowers. Well, after we do the workshops up here in the mountains, there's so many flowers. So one day I went and I just set up on a bench, in downtown Blowing Rock outside
okay.
of one of my favorite little stores. And I just made bouquets for people to,
yeah.
you know, not have them die in my cooler. And it was so fun because the children, what I was noticing was that the children would always pick the most beautiful open flower. And
yeah.
The adults who would come by, interestingly enough, would pick out the ones that were more closed.
Really?
Yeah, which was so interesting to me. I don't know if that was just – that could be just like something that happened
no,
to me.
No, I'm
but
sure there's something
was,
that's to that.
Well,
I'm sure.
Well, and it's too – you know, like I think that there's this whole thing where it's like, well, if it's closed, like it will last longer
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
And so then I really got to thinking about – children and just kind of their perspective of life, how open-handed they are, like as people, and how welcoming they are and all those kinds of things, and how that was sort of reflected in their flower choice. And then with this, you know, with adults, you know, being a little bit more closed, a little bit more guarded,
yeah,
with like
yeah.
the concept that like that they would last longer or something.
There's some
and
psychology there that's going on.
I
like
just
something
think
that's
it's
happening.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. And whenever you think about the floral industry and like how the roses have been bred to kind of stay closed
yeah,
in a lot
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
In a lot of situations, because like the belief that's driving the sales is that like they'll stay open longer, which you and I know, and so many of the people, like those
yeah.
roses will they'll never open. Like
exactly.
they are made to never open.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
so of course, you know, we're like,
we're,
give us
we're
the
prying
ones,
them
give
open
us the varieties.
And
yeah, yeah. Like the whole reflexing rose thing.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, oh holy smokes, like, so I just think it's really interesting. That is just a this total
no that's
total
that's
side
awesome.
Note
and that's one of those cool things too, when you're doing like little pop-ups, and like I'm sure you had experience with that, but you were able to educate, you know, people, and that's what I love too,
yeah.
is being able to kind
yeah.
of talk to them and, you
mm-hmm.
know, kind of, you know, debunk some of those misconceptions that people have, like
mm-hmm.
oh, if you open this rose it's gonna die. Well, no, you know, it's gonna die if it has bad water or if it's in the sun or like, you know, these little
mm-hmm.
these kind of aspects. So
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, having those flowers in front of you and being able to talk with people really kind of, you know, educates them and lets them kind of open up their eyes a little bit to like, oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I can have peonies for a couple of days and, you know, enjoy them. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of with you on that. I'm
mm-hmm.
with you.
There's so much more to that floral longevity thing than it's cut out to be. I mean, I'll tell people sometimes if they're like, oh, but I'm doing it, I think I'm doing it right, but the flowers aren't opening, or, you know, this is happening or that is happening. Like, we all have to remember that the flowers have had a life before they've ever even made it to us.
Exactly.
And start to learn to see, you know, really how to identify a healthy flower and when a flower is kind of past its prime, like paying attention to what the pollen's doing and paying to, you know, the hydration of the petals and how the petals feel and all those kinds of things can really clue us in on, like, really, is it a healthy flower or not? Because some of those closed flowers that people are picking that, well, this one will last longer. Like, I can look at the petals and I know that the petals are a little bit more dehydrated, or that maybe the roses were picked, you know, a day or two before they should have been picked. And so they're stunted and they will never open. So just kind of, if you're listening and you're feeling like a little bit confused by that, that there is an element to just really observing the flowers that's going to help you become an expert in knowing exactly where it is life cycle and how much longer it's got and all those kinds of things.
I think the more that you start playing with them too, like, for instance, sometimes I just get like a wild hair and I don't want to drive to my wholesaler, but I'll just go to my local grocery store and just honestly look at the clearance section of like, what do they have marked down? And I'm like, I know that these just need some better water, and I know that they're going to perk back up, and I just play around with those. And I think that's one of those things, especially if you're interested in flowers, being able to work with them, you know, attending local workshops of designers that you are inspired by, and asking questions. You know, I love receiving questions on Instagram, you know, where'd you get this vase? What kind of flower is that? And I love being able to educate and say, you know, it's this right here. Do this, do this, do this. You know, let me know how this works out for you. So that's that's kind of a fun aspect too of getting to work with flowers, is you're constantly teaching somebody something and you're learning something from so many people. So
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Creating Inspired Designs, a fast-track online class designed to set you free in your work with flowers. Nurturing creativity in our lives is important. Designing arrangements that our clients both love and that we're excited about is important too. If you've ever experienced that tension between what you'd like to create and what your client needs, this class will help. Together, we'll go on a journey in creative expression. We'll explore our personal design philosophies, learn how to break out of creative ruts, and step out from under the weight of perfectionism. We'll cover both client and personal arrangements and learn techniques for bridging the gaps between these two types of work. If you're ready to get back to creating from a place of joy and inspiration, you can learn more at teamflower.org/online. Well, and you had mentioned too that you had done some workshops at the
at Citizens Apply at Pond City.
At Citizens, I think I saw on your website, whenever I was, you know, just kind of prepping, getting ready for today and learning a little bit more about you through that, that you've got several workshops coming up. Can you just tell us a little bit about, like, you know, who would be the ideal person to come to one of those, and where are they? And just tell us a little bit more about
this. Yeah, for sure.
You're really fun, and I would love for people to know about.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. I think I'm fun, so thanks. I do a couple workshops every year. And, you know, I guess the attendees range from like novice to I have no idea what I'm doing to I'm an established designer and I want to learn something different, or, this is a treat myself kind of moment and I want to just do something fun. So I don't ever limit myself to, you know, anyone, any type of designer, you know, whether you're going to be, you know, doing this for 10 plus years or you have no experience. I want everyone to come and enjoy the community and be able to learn something and honestly, you know, teach me some stuff. I've had multiple times where, you know, flower care, you know, I've had some people say, hey, if you do it this way, and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have them in Atlanta. We're working right now and doing some down in Florida. So yeah, that's exciting. But we have, you know, roughly around 10 to 15 attendees. One time we had like 24 people and that was so much. That was too many people, but we did have like 10 to 15 is a good number. That way I'm able to kind of interact with them. And, I do a little demonstration on how I design and give them tips and tricks. And then from there, it's just kind of free range. And I want, I don't want my design style to be everyone else's design style. There are influences that other people have and different, you know, things that they can pull from to be inspired by. I just want to give them the tips and tricks to kind of, you know, make the most aesthetically pleasing arrangement. And that's why my attendees will never have the same arrangement. You know, it's not do this like Sean Strong. It's like, what inspires you? If you want this, you know, rogue ranunculus hanging out on the side, that's your prerogative. Do that. You know, I'll kind of modify and say, hey, look, this would be prettier on the eye. This settles a little bit easier right here. And then they see it and they capture that moment. And it's like, yeah, this is what that's about, mm-hmm. is educating mm-hmm. and building that community. So
is there one thing like that at your workshops or just like a common thing that you see people do that is just a really simple fix?
I think it goes hand in hand, I guess I could say. People either don't want to cut the flowers down too low, mm-hmm. or they want to keep the stems too long. So there's really, that's in order to kind of create a beautiful, I guess, movement for your eye to follow in an arrangement, especially when you're working with a more natural kind of arrangement. I think being able to play with heights is key. And oftentimes people just want to cut like half an inch off of a rose and put, you know, that somewhere. And it's like, well, that's, if you want to do that, that's fine. But maybe if you try doing it this way or try doing, you know, lowering this here or doing something like that, I just think people get apprehensive and nervous, and they either cut way too low or they just cut like nothing at all. And they try to make an arrangement with that. And it's like, I think it's just a matter of being comfortable with the flowers and just kind of knowing how they grow naturally and how they like to work together. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's one of those, one of those things with the, you know, this sort of natural sculptural shapes.
Yeah.
It's surprising, like the negative space is just as important as the space that a flower is filling. And it's kind of shocking, like actually how short you have to cut the stem that goes in at the very base level to be able to allow the space so that there's room for all the flowers to, you know, to come through. So yeah, if you're listening and you're new and you feel like, oh man, or maybe you're used to doing a different style and you're like, oh, that organic style, like what's the secret with that, you know? Yeah. Like this right here I think is really a key point. Like sometimes like those initial flowers that go in at my base layer after I've maybe branched it out a little bit and I'm putting some things in just really low, like the stem might literally be like an inch and a half or two inches long, going right into that flower frog that I'm then building out and away from. But yeah, that's really,
I think, like having making sure that you're just not, you know, working against the flowers. You know, I try to highlight each bloom for what it is. And, you know, that's why my arrangements have a shape and kind of a movement to them. I let those flowers go back to that voice. They speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need to kind of make them forced into doing something they don't want to do. You know, just kind of let them do their own thing and be happy with it. So,
yeah. That's super fun. So how'd you get into flowers?
Oh, the most random story ever. I feel like a lot of floral designers have just like fallen into this career. Like, I don't think that anyone like was like, oh, I want to be a flower designer.
Yeah.
So I've always been kind of a creative person. And a friend of mine asked me to help with her wedding. And I was like, sure. I mean, cool. I can do that. No, whatever. And at her wedding, I was so nervous. I did not sleep a wink. I was using a lot of hydrangea and Snapchat. Dragon, hi.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Would you mind like just starting that story from the beginning? Because there was a lot of background noise there. I just want to make sure that we got it all.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Do we want to ask?
Yeah, no worries.
Do we want to ask?
I'll say it again.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you got it. Sean, how did you get started in flowers?
I think a lot of us, I fell into flowers, honestly. I think a lot of us kind of stumbled into this career.
Yeah,
and a friend of mine had a wedding and she knew that I was kind of a creative person and she asked me to help with her wedding and I was like, yeah, for sure. So I panicked. I made sure the house was extremely, extremely cold. I didn't want my flowers to die. I was dealing with a bunch of hydrangea. I had no idea what I was doing. And she loved her bouquet. I ended up booking two weddings at that wedding. I think I charged like $100 over the cost of flowers for like the next ones. Cause I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't think that I was going to fall in love with this. And, at the time I was majoring in biochemistry at school.
And oh my gosh. That's bad. I always love hearing those stories. I'm like, Interesting.
Yeah, complete opposite. Like, I was going to go to the medical field. I was super pumped about that. And then, you know, I fell in love with flowers and I started working with a couple designers in Atlanta and, you know, trying to educate myself and freelancing when I could and taking, you know, different courses and workshops. And that's just kind of how the story's grown. And from there, I truly have fallen in love with floral design and kind of creating these events for clients and people. And so, yeah, that's just kind of how that all started out.
That's super, super cool. Well, do any of your biochemistry background things, do they ever sort of pop out in surprising ways in your work with flowers?
No. I mean, I cried a lot while I was studying biochem, and I cry sometimes that my flowers aren't doing what I want them to do. So maybe that's like a little similarity. But other than that, no. I mean, I can measure the pH of water. That's about it. Like that's. Oh, That's it. So, yeah.
Cool. So fun. Yeah, it's really interesting. And even career change. And who knows, maybe someday that will come back to you and you'll be a doctor. Yeah. I mean, who knows? We never know where life's going to take us. But
exactly.
It's interesting when, like, lawyers, and we had a dentist at the workshop.
Oh, nice.
Last year, and just lawyers, dentists, nurses, so many different backgrounds of people. But I do think there is a similarity of caring for people that's there between all those different professions. And even with your desire to want to be a doctor, I feel like there's this element of
customer service
nurturing
kind of thing.
And
yeah,
taking care of people. So absolutely. I think it's you're a doctor for the soul and for emotion and mental wellness and all of those things now.
Yes.
That's what florists are.
There we go. Absolutely. I like that.
Obviously very different than all of those professions. So I'm not in any way, you know, making a really strong correlation, but it really is interesting how flowers can lift somebody who might be feeling sad or,
absolutely,
you know, any number of other things. They just are a really special thing. And it would be actually really cool to sort of partner with doctors in those professions and
experimenting
and things like that.
Yeah. It's funny just that I was just thinking, like, how can I like be of a service, I guess, floral wise to something like that. So yeah, that's got me kind of thinking. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it has been super fun to have
absolutely.
You here on
well,
the
thank
podcast
you for having
today.
Me.
As we sign off today, I want to remind you that your work with flowers matters. It's about more than the blooms. You're loving the world. You make magic happen. You're creating memories. You're following a dream, delivering light and grace. Here at Team Flower, we're cheering you on, one bloom at a time. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And until next time, remember that we're so thankful for each bucket that you wash and each bag of garbage that you take out of your studio that makes all of this possible. If you're looking for more floral education that's free, conversation, or inspiration, just visit teamflower.org/free to see the library of helpful videos and articles for florists, growers, and flower business owners. You'll find helpful tips on everything from creating flower walls to hiring freelancers and much, much more.